ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 24. This chapter is entitled as The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan. Purjam,
Purjam
Kadachit,
Kadachit
Kriravir
Yadu,
Yadu
Bhoja,
Bhoja
Kumarakai,
Kumarakai
Kopita,
Kopita
Munayaha,
Munayaha
Shepur,
Shepur
भगवान मता कोविदः पूर्जाम कदाचित क्रीडाभिर् जदुभोज कुमारकै कोपिता मुनय शेपुर भगवन् मतकोविदा पूर्जाम कदाचित् क्रीडभिर् यदु भोज कुमारकै कोपिता मुनय शेपुर भगवन् मतकोविदः पूर्जां कदाचित्
क्रीडभिः
यदु भोज कुमारकै कोपिता मुनय शेपुर भगवन् मतकोविदः
In the city of Dwarka,
Kadachit,
once upon a time,
Kridabhi,
by sporting activities,
Yadu,
the descendants of the Yadu,
Bhoja,
the descendants of Bhoja,
Kumarakai,
princes,
Kopita,
became angry.
Munayaha,
the great sages,
Shepu,
curse,
Bhagavat,
the personality of Godhead, Mata,
desire.
Kovidaha,
cognizant.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of Yadu and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. So, please repeat after me. Once upon a time,
great sages were made angry
by the sporting activities
of the princely descendants
of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties.
And thus,
as desired by the Lord,
the sages cursed them.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The associates of the Lord who were playing the part of princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties were not ordinary living entities. It is not possible that they could offend any saintly man or sage, nor could the sages who are all pure devotees of the Lord be be influenced by anger by any of the sporting activities of the princes born in the holy dynasties of Yadu and Bhoja, wherein the Lord Himself appeared as a descendant. The cursing of the princes by the sages was another transcendental pastime of the Lord to make a show of anger. The princes were cursed in order that one may know that even the descendants of the Lord who could never be vanquished by any act of material nature, were subjected to the reactions of anger by great devotees of the Lord. One should therefore take great care and attention not to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee of the Lord. Purjam kadachit kridabhir yadu bhojo kumarakai kopita munayo shepur bhagavan matokovida. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. So, the princes of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasty were playing, and at that time they saw some sages there, and they wanted to make some fun of the sages. The sages were very exalted personalities, and they are supposed to know, they are supposed to be Trikaladya. Their sages are meant to or supposed to know the past, present and future. So these boys, the playful youngsters, the princes of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasty, they wanted to make some fun of those sages. So they got Shamba, they tied a mushal, a club around his belly. The club has a round head, gada, mushal. Gada is even bigger, mushal is a smaller one, smaller kind of mess. But it has a solemn round head. So they tied that mushal around Shamba's belly and dressed him up like a woman, like a pregnant woman, and approached the sages and asked them, can you please tell us whether he'll give birth to a boy or a girl? So the sages got very upset and they cursed that he'll give birth to someone who will be the cause of the destruction of your whole family. So that's how the sages cursed the Jadu and Bhoja boys. So then they went back, and when they got cursed like that, they became very worried. They went and reported to the elders of the family, and especially Ugrasen was the king. He was reported. So then Ugrasen said that he consulted with the ministers, and they advised him that maybe the best would be to get rid of this mushal, get rid of this iron mess. And so what to do? They said that you rub it on the river, and by rubbing it will be pulverized. If you rub the iron, what happens? It wears out. And so this is how, let's get rid of this mushal. So they did that. They got people to rub it on a stone. It took a long time, but eventually the whole mess was pulverized. Whole mess was made into powder. I mean, practically it disappeared. And there was a last piece which was difficult to rub, so they threw it in the river. Now, in course of time, although the mushal was rubbed off into nothing, but those dust particles accumulated on the river bank, and from that grew the weeds, the reeds, the water reeds. And then later on, once the members of the Jadu were having a picnic on the bank of the river, and they were having the picnic, they were drinking. And drinking rice wine, they became intoxicated. So they pulled out those reeds from the river and started to fight with each other. And as a result of that, they all killed themselves. And that last bit of that iron that was left, that was thrown in the river, one fish ate that one, that piece. And a fisherman caught that fish, and from his belly he found that small piece of iron. And he thought that he would sell it in the market. So he sold it in the market, and the hunter bought that piece. Seeing that piece, he thought, oh, it will be a nice arrow head. So with that I can kill the animals. So he bought that piece of iron, and with that he made an arrow And this one day when Krishna was lying under a tree, when the whole Yadu dynasty was destroyed, Krishna was lying on a under a tree. So there was some grass and Krishna's feet were showing up between the grass, and it looked like the reddish feet of Krishna looked like the ear of a rabbit. And hunter thought that it was a rabbit. And the hunter shot the arrow and it hit Krishna's feet. And as a result of that, Krishna left his body. Now, this was how the Yadu dynasty was annihilated. Now here there is one very nice expression, Bhagavan Mata. Bhagavan Mata means according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of God. All these actually happen according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That means all this arrangement was made by Krishna. And Prabhupada in the purport pointed out that the sages who are actually very exalted devotees of the Lord, they couldn't get angry with the Yadu and the Bhoja princes because they are the descendants of the Lord's family. They belong to they must be very intimate associates of the Lord. They are very exalted devotees of the Lord. So how can they curse? How can a devotee curse the associate of the Lord? In this way, Prabhupada pointed out that through these pastimes, it was indicated that how careful you should be while dealing with the devotees. That we should not offend them or insult them or cause any disfavor in them. So, because this is how we have to understand that this is the pastimes. It's the pastimes of the Lord. Lord's activities are not arranged by the mundane guna and karma. In the material nature, things happen according to guna and karma. But Krishna's arrangements, Krishna's pastimes are beyond this modes of material nature or the jurisdiction of the material nature. They are not affected by the material influences. That is the meaning of pastimes or leela. It happens by Krishna's divine arrangement. Another important understanding about these pastimes, which have been explained later on in the 10th canto and later part of 10th canto and 11th canto, that actually it is Krishna when he fulfilled his mission, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Krishna came, he protected the sadhus, gave his association to the devotees, and he annihilated all the demons. So when that mission was accomplished, Krishna decided to go back to the spiritual world. And Krishna considered that before he left, the Yadus have to also go back. So Krishna decided the Yadus to go back. And because of that, Krishna made this arrangement that they would be cursed like that by the sages, and as a result of that, they all will go back. And Krishna's own pastimes also was withdrawn in this way by being hit by the arrow of a hunter. Now the question arises, Krishna, even if we don't consider that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if we consider that Krishna is just an ordinary person, still then we have to consider that how can somebody die just being hit in the foot by an arrow? Even though if somebody's heart is pierced by an arrow, he can die. But one's finger is pierced by an arrow and he died. Does it happen? It doesn't happen even to the Kali Yuga living entities. What to speak of a big Kshatriya personality like Krishna. Actually, there is a temple in South India near Madras. It's called Parthasarathi Temple. And in Parthasarathi Temple, there is a deity of Krishna. And the deity of Krishna is full of marks. The understanding is that after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna went there. When Krishna went there, his whole body was pierced by the arrows. While he is driving the chariot of Arjuna, many arrows had hit him. His whole body was pierced by arrows, and those marks are there in the deity. So we can see Krishna was not fighting, Krishna was riding the chariot, and still he had to tolerate so many arrows. Hundreds of arrows, thousands of arrows, his whole body was pierced with that. And Krishna could tolerate that. And here, this arrow was not even shot by a Kshatriya Rathi or a Maharathi. This arrow was shot by an ordinary hunter. And this hunter's arrow hit Krishna's feet, and as a result of that, Krishna left this planet. So when we think about that, then we can immediately understand that this is just Krishna's pastime. But Krishna's pastimes also acts in a various ways. One activity of Krishna has many results. Just as here we are seeing that one of the purpose of this curse was to show how serious is Vaishnava Parada. But there is another understanding that Krishna arranged for the Jadus to go back to Godhead after his mission was accomplished. So in this way we can see that there are many, many. Krishna acts in one way, but it has many results. One act of Krishna will have many, many results. So these pastimes of Krishna's leaving his body being hit by the arrow of Jara Vyadha was because Krishna wanted the devotees to have devotees' faith to increase in him, and the atheists, this belief in him will become even stronger. So those who are atheists, when they hear that Krishna was hit by the arrow and he left his body, what will the atheists say then? See, I told you Krishna is not God, he is just an ordinary person. See, now he is dead. So in this way, the atheist disbelief increases and devotee's love increases. There are so many other aspects of it, like in Bhagavatam. Although Bhagavatam is describing in one hand that Krishna was hit by the arrow and he left his body. But then, so same Bhagavatam is also describing that when Krishna was going back to Godhead, demigods saw him. Krishna was actually going that. Some demigods saw, some did not. So those who are fortunate, they saw Krishna going back to Godhead. So here is another description that Krishna actually went back to Godhead. So, but the atheists, what happens to the atheists? They want to believe what they think it. They want to believe or they want to justify their own understanding. They don't want to see things according to scriptures. They will see Krishna was hit by an arrow and he died. But Krishna went back to Godhead, demigods saw that. They said, well, that is just a fairy tale. The real story is Krishna was hit by an arrow and Krishna died. So that is the nature of the atheist. And this is called half-chicken philosophy. Half-chicken logic, not philosophy. Half-chicken logic, ardha-kukkutanai. The half-chicken logic is the chicken gives egg from the hind part and chicken eats from the front part. So feeding the chicken is expensive affair. So don't accept that. Just take the hind part of the chicken that lays the egg. We don't have to feed the chicken but have the egg. For front part is expensive part that eats. And the hind part is the profitable part. It lays eggs. So keep the hind part and get rid of the front part. Not accept the front part, but have the hind part. So similarly, when people accept some part of the scripture, but not the other part of the scripture, then that has been compared to this half-chicken logic. When you accept the chicken, we have to chicken as a whole. If we accept the scripture, we have to accept the scripture as whole. Why should we just accept whatever fits into our idea and reject what doesn't fit with our idea? The scripture that is describing, Bhagavatam is describing, Krishna was hit by an arrow and he left his body. But the same Bhagavatam is also describing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the original Supreme Lord. So why don't we accept that part? When the scripture says that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to accept it. Just as when we say that Krishna has been hit by an arrow and Krishna left His body. Similarly, we find many people use Bhagavad Gita like that. They say Bhagavad Gita, oh Bhagavad Gita, say karman ne badhi karasya But they don't take the latter part of it. Ma karma phalo hetu, bhurma was the shangasteshya karma. That part you are not taking. They are just taking the one half, one line only. Karmanne badhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. You can only act and don't desire for the result. But they are not taking the part that says the result should be given to Krishna. That they don't want to accept. They say, karmanne badhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachanam, fall. The result you give to me. You work like an ass and give me the result. They will say karmanne badhikarasya, but they don't accept sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam. If we have to accept something, we have to accept it as a whole, in totality. Otherwise it is nonsense. And we can see most of the people in today's world are nonsense. They will use Bhagavad Gita, but they will not accept the essential teachings of Bhagavad Gita. They don't even, what to speak of essential teaching, they don't even accept that Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna. They accept Bhagavad Gita, they use it, they say big lectures on Bhagavad Gita. But when it comes to who spoke Bhagavad Gita, no. That Krishna is not there. He is the unknown, the unknown who is inside you, that is him. That unknown inside me wrote that Bhagavad Gita? That unknown inside me spoke Bhagavad Gita? That unknown inside that you have is in ignorance. Doesn't even know anything. So why are you accepting Bhagavad Gita and using it? Why are you accepting Bhagavad Gita and using it for your own sake? So this is how unscrupulous people have become today. They pretend to be big scholars. But then, actually, a big idiots. They're not scholars. They're big idiots. They're big fools. And not only fools, big rascals. Swindlers, cheaters. And as a result of that, the world is in such a critical condition today. Because these people have become the leaders of the society, the whole world is falling apart. The whole world is suffering. But they think, well, as long as my bank balance is getting fatter and fatter, is good. As long as my bank balance is increasing, my family is in good situation, my 24 generations are safe, it's okay. Let the whole world go to dogs. Let the whole world become destroyed. We don't care. But at least my family is all right. But they don't realize when the whole world is going to fall apart, your family also is going to fall apart. When the whole world is in a critical situation, your whole family, including yourself, also will be in a critical situation. That these people don't understand. And why they don't understand? Because they are not sincere. They are not honest, and as a result of that, they are not fortunate. But those who are fortunate, what will happen to them? Those who are fortunate, when they come across the real teachings, they immediately accept it. And as a result of that, they benefit. And the benefit is they don't have any more suffering anymore. They don't have any more suffering in this world. They don't suffer. They don't suffer. Although apparent physical difficulties may be there, but they don't become affected by that. Even the physical difficulties are there, they're smiling. Even though they don't have food in their stomach, they're smiling. Even they have many apparent tribulations, they are happy. They are not affected by that. Even when they have all kinds of physical difficulties, they are not worried about that. Whereas these people, just a little difficulty and then they will just run. And when they have difficulties, then they'll blame God. Why God did this to me? So God is not there. Okay, fine. If God is not there, then why are you blaming Him? Or is the devotee? When difficulties are there, they accept, oh, Krishna wants to teach me a lesson. Krishna is preparing me for greater difficulties. through this smaller difficulty, he is preparing me for greater difficulty. Because this material nature is full of difficulties. And the ultimate difficulty is? Ultimate difficulty is death. Death. And that is the most critical point for those who do not accept Krishna. At the time of death, what will happen to them? Many of them will pass too out of fear. When they see Jamdutas, what will happen out of fear? They'll pass urine and stool. And in this way, their soul will leave through the stool. And their destiny will be, they'll go to hellish planets. Whereas a devotee, how does a devotee leave his body? Either chanting the holy name of the Lord through his mouth. Or seeing the beautiful form of the Lord through his eyes. Or hearing the beautiful sound through the ears. Or smelling the beautiful fragrance through his nose. So all these seven gates are the upper gates. And two lower gates are there. There are nine gates in this body. Seven are on the upper region and two are in the lower region. Whereas, devotee generally leaves his body by chanting the holy name. And that time he sees the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of God. That time he hears the beautiful sound of the transcendental music. Or he smells the beautiful fragrance from the flowers that are offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. That's why for a devotee, death is not at all frightening. Rather, devotee feels, oh, now the right time has, real time has come. Let me fix my mind at Krishna's lotus. So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Devotee and an atheist. And this is the ultimate consideration. The time of death will be the final test. At the time of death, how a materialistic person will think. A person who has always been thinking how much money he is going to save in the bank, how much properties he has made. At the time of death, how will he feel? He'll feel, oh, now I have to leave everything behind. No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. What will happen to my bank account? What will happen to my big building, big palace I built? What will happen to all the lands I have acquired? What will happen to all the position that I have got for myself? But for a devotee, he knows that his real home is somewhere else. So now is the time to go back there. So he is happy. So now I'll be going. And all this, whatever is there in the material nature, is just doesn't bear any significance now. As long as in the material nature, I engage them in Krishna's service. Now other devotees will engage them in Krishna's service. I don't have to worry about it. Let me just go wherever Krishna wants me to. And let me be engaged in Krishna's service. So now the question is, are you all want to become a devotee or an atheist? The choice is yours. You decide what you want to be. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So take shelter of this holy name and become very good devotees. Very good devotees. And then you will enjoy in this life and you will enjoy in your next life. And in this way you will continuously keep on enjoying. By the way, do you want to enjoy or you want to suffer? How many of you want to suffer? Okay. And how many of you want to enjoy? Very good. So the process is very simple. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamritashwar. That ananda ambudhi, not just little bit of enjoyment, a drop of enjoyment, but an ocean of enjoyment. And vardhanam, it keeps on increasing. And pratipadam purnamritashwadanam. At every step, experiencing the purna amrita. Amrita. Amrita means negative to mrittu, negative to death. What is negative to death? That destroys death. Just as medicine destroys disease, nectar destroys death. So when you get the nectar, will there be any fear of death? When you are not going to die, why should you be afraid of death? Those who will die, they will be afraid of death. Those who will not die, why should they be afraid of death? So will you die? No. Why won't you die? Huh? Why won't you die? What makes you so sure that you won't die? Huh? Very good. Because you realize that you are a spirit soul. Are you a body or are you a spirit soul?
Spirit
soul. So does the spirit soul die?
No.
So you are a spirit soul doesn't die. Will you die?
No.
Simple as that. So this is how wonderful this process is. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question?
Is it like that when some people go to read Ramayana, this is that Lord Ram told to Bali that when I was in my Krishna incarnation, you will become a limit of my death.
Lord Ramchandra telling Bali. Let me see. Actually, Jarabhyad, whose incarnation is Jarabhyad? I have to just check that. And that's understandable. Ramchandra killed Bali and he assured him that just as I killed you now,
Bali asked Ramchandra, why did you do like this? You hide inside the bush and then Lord Ramchandra said, okay, in the next generation, you will become a leader of my.
Then Sopari was like this, may there is Subriya Pyara Tara Kavan Naku Nima. This Sopari was this.
Translate the Chopai. Subri Bhakt hai aur Bali Bhakt nahi.
इसलिए बैड बन गए हैं। भक्तों की रक्षा करने के लिए भगवान ऐसे लीला विलास करते हैं। आई वेगली रिमेम्बर समथिंग लाइक दैट। एनीवे आई हैव टू चेक दैट।
The way Jesus left the planet, although yes, it is a pastime of the Lord, arrangement of the Lord, but the particular way by which they left, they could have left by probably many other ways, but the way by which they left also presented, prove a point that yes, that, I mean, even if somebody may be very close externally to the Lord, maybe a family member, but doesn't actually recognize the greatness of the Lord, or if he is not respectful to the devotees appropriately, then he
is this coming from some scripture or coming from your mind?
Yeah. It's just my question from my mind.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, like, it's not proper to think that way. Lost devotees are his eternal associates. Do you think that by chance they became his associates? And they have to, now they have to understand something from you? Huh? We just have to accept it as the Lord's divine arrangement. They came to participate in Lord's pastimes, and now the Lord is making the arrangements for them to go back. The devotees are simply puppets in the hands of the Lord. They don't act according to their own whims. They act according to the Lord's divine arrangement. So when even they are making fun of them, of the sages, we have to understand that that also was the arrangement of the Lord. Because they are simply puppets in the hands. Does a puppet have any independence to act? No. So that is the meaning of a puppet. So a devotee is a puppet in the hands of the Lord. It's only a conditioned soul that has its independence, thinks that he has independence. But he acts according to guna karma. But devotees act according to the Lord's divine arrangement, because they're the puppets in the hands of the Lord. So otherwise, why they wouldn't do it? I mean, you know, in general condition, even a gentleman will not make fun of a sadhu. And here, these are such exalted personalities. Why they are making fun of the sadhu? And another reason for making fun of the sadhus is, those sages is, that stop your mental speculation. Just become engaged in the service of the Lord. Spread the glory of the Lord. Don't just sit and meditate on the Lord. Become engaged in devotional service. That was their basic attitude. And become engaged in the service. Another reason is the four Kumaras cursing Joy and Vijay. Now, Joy and Vijay are the residents of Vaikuntha, whereas the Kumaras are still in the universal layer. So they're cursing, and Joy and Vijay being affected by that. No, it was not that Joy and Vijay have been affected by their curse. Joy and Vijay is acting according to the Lord's divine arrangement. And the Lord's arrangement is that to promote them from the gate of Vaikuntha to Golok Navadvip.
Generally, the description is that the sage is cursed. Once in a lecture, I heard that Durvasa Muni is specifically cursed.
Among the sages, Durvasa was there. It was not only Durvasa. Bhagavatam describes the sages cursed. But among the sages, Durvasa also was there. Narad Muni also was there. Narad Muni could have told the other sages, hey, what are you doing? Like these other, he could have brought them back to the senses. But he is also acting according to Lord's arrangement. Okay, yes, Paru.
Guru Maharaj described that the Yadu, that Yadus were drinking wine that time in the beginning, so was it allowed just in that age?
Yeah, the Kshatriyas can drink. Brahmanas also drink, but they drink only in some special occasions. Some Brahmanas. They drink at the time of yajna. Yes.
Well, why the Lord wanted to take all the yadu with himself? Was there reason not to the Lord?
Say you went with your family to vacation. Say you went with your family to Goa on vacation. Now when the vacation is over, do you leave the members of your family and come back home alone? Now what do you do? Huh? You bring your whole family with you, don't you? So similarly, when the Lord comes to this planet to perform His pastimes and brings His associates, then at the end of the pastimes, he takes everyone back. Now because his pastimes are like a play, his coming back, return also is another play.
You already explained that muscle and glove, sambo and tied up. Why, particularly, you already explained that. Why is Musala being tied up?
Because they dressed him up as a pregnant woman. And they went to the sages who are supposed to know past, present and future. They're supposed to know the future also. So jokingly they brought him and told him, can you tell whether he'll give birth to a boy or a girl?
Just in playing mode they just said.
Yeah. Making fun. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.